Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Speaking of fixing things, here's Don Jackson Blattner, the author and registered dietitian and nutritionist. DonJacksonBlattner.com is her website. And folks, follow her on Instagram big time. She's at DJ Blattner there. Welcome back, Don. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I love being here. You know, favorite time of the week for sure.
My friend Bob Surratt said this morning that he's trying to figure out how much protein to eat. It seems like it's all the rage these days, people being super protein conscious. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. It's big time. I mean, you know, I lived through the no-fat craze, right. You know, growing up. And so there's always some sort of either villain or hero in the food world. And right now, he is right. Protein is the golden child. And I got to tell you, I'm not mad at it. I know a lot of people feel like it's the wrong place to choose to focus. However, here's what protein does for us. It helps our body composition. It helps us with satiety, feeling full, and helps us decrease cravings. It helps our hair, skin, and nails. It helps our bones, our immune system. It helps regulate blood sugar. It helps regulate our energy levels, our mood, our cognition. It supports hormone health. I mean, protein is a big deal. However, we need a balanced diet. So when people are just only focused on protein, that becomes a problem. So how much do you really need? Well, the recommendation is quite low. This is kind of where everybody gets a little iffy. They're like, well, how come it's so, you know, such a low amount of protein is recommended for people for health? And it's actually the recommendation that we have is just to prevent deficiencies. So what has happened is a lot of aging experts and a lot of active people experts are like, wait a second, you know, we're just talking about, you know, avoiding deficiencies. What about if we wanted optimal health? And so that's where this argument lies, is like, you know, why is there so much controversy around it? It's like, well, let's talk about optimal levels. And for most people who are starting, a great place to start is to think about getting 30 grams of protein in each meal. And as we age, this is what got me so kind of hooked on talking about protein and thinking about it. As we age, our bodies do not process proteins as efficiently as when we were younger, so that it is important that we have a good chunk of protein at a meal. And as we age, our muscles need a little bit more of a slap in the face from the protein to say, hey, wake up, make some muscle, because our muscles naturally want to waste away. So protein is very important, especially as we age. So that 30 grams of protein at a meal is a great place to sort of start. And for a guideline, when you're looking at about an ounce of chicken, for example, that's 7 grams of protein. So when you're thinking about 30, you know, it's 4 ounces of something like chicken. We're not talking about you have to eat a whole hen. You know, it's 4 ounces is not, you know, extreme. But breakfast tends to be a time that people really, really struggle. There's lots of proteins for breakfast. So that's, you know, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, eggs, thinking about that kind of stuff. But then the other thing is that people do a pretty bad job of balancing animal protein with plant protein. So we know from research that if you are somebody who's going to start paying attention to protein, it's not just go eat as much meat as you can eat. That is not the answer. You want to do a nice balance where you're also getting a protein from plant foods like beans and nuts and seeds, so that you're having a balanced diet and not just all meat-based.
Did you say last time we talked about this that 4 or 5 ounces per meal of protein, if it was some sort of meat, would be maybe the size of your palm?
Yes, exactly. You know, this is much tinier than like if you're going to the steakhouse and getting, you know, your pound of steak or whatever. Yeah, it's really just the size of your palm of your hand is a great sort of rule of thumb. Or if you're somebody who likes to be a little bit more particular, you know, when you're buying things like chicken in the store, it will tell you how much that weighs, and then you can divide it out and see, oh, you know, this is 16 ounces of chicken. There are 4 chicken breasts in here. Each one is about 4 ounces. So you can do some math on your own if you're trying to sort of get a gauge of how much protein is in the things you're eating.
But if you've got us eating 90 grams optimally a day, 30 grams per meal, and if you said it's 7 grams per ounce, then that would be, let's see, 720. So that would be about 13 ounces of protein a day. Is that about right? 13 ounces?
Well, here's where the, I love the math. I love the math. However, not all protein is measured like that. So for example, if I was going to pick up a Greek yogurt container, that would have like 16 grams of protein in there. So that's not necessarily, you know, by the ounce like a chicken or fish would be measured.
Right.
So it really is you're looking at the grams of protein and just look at the packaging.
Yeah,
the only thing that the only reason why I give people the grams of protein per ounce of meat is because it's often not on the package in that case. But everything else, you can look at the package and see the grams of protein.
DawnJacksonBlattner.com is her website, DJ Blattner on Instagram. Dawn, before I go to some other questions for you, anything else you want to insert here?
Well, you know what? I do absolutely love that. What about a chicken breast, people? That's part of it, is protein is getting this health halo. Just because something has protein does not mean that it is healthy. And we're still very low in fruits and vegetables and our fiber. And so, you know, don't lose track of the big picture, right? That protein is important, but it's not the whole deal. And I do have one other thing that I came across this study, and I feel like we all have to discuss it. It has to be discussed. Okay, so this is about people and decreasing their risk of heart disease by 20%. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S. Okay, so 20% decreased risk of heart disease. What are these people doing? And oh my gosh, they are walking 5 flights of stairs a day. So this is an association study that I looked at. So it's not like, you know, cause and effect. They made these people walk 5 flights of stairs and then their heart disease risk dropped. It's not like that. It's just saying, what were these people doing that they lived and they had less heart disease? What are they doing? 5 flights of stairs a day, which is 50 stairs. So now all I do is I look around. I'm like, how can I do stairs? Where are stairs? I was on the Riverwalk the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, there are stairs. I'm going to do 50 stairs. I live in a building with stairs. I'm like, okay, I got to do more stairs. So thinking about 50 stairs a day is awesome for a potential decreased risk of 20% for heart disease. Let's do this.
Those of us with the laundry in the basement and we sleep on the second floor, that's at my house, probably 20, 30 steps a day right there, just taking the laundry down and bringing it back up.
Love it. Yes. So that's our homework assignment for all of us is find stairs and walk them.
A couple questions for you before we move on to some of your other prepared things, but I just want to get in. Let's go to Carol. You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Carol?
Hi. Hi, John. Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
Hi. I have a brother who is 61 years old. Loves fast food. August, he had AFib. September, he had kidney stones. March, the beginning of March, he had a stroke. And he was in the hospital for 6 weeks. He's home now because my mother wanted him home. We wanted a little more rehab. But he's right back to how he was before. And we've heard the doctors say, if you have a stroke, you're going to have another one. What do you think, Dawn? He won't listen to me. What do I do? He doesn't like vegetables.
You want some dietary guidance for your brother, in other words.
I think
so. And you know what? I'm sorry to hear he's been through all of that. And a lot of times, you know, health shakeups like that, health scares do make people want to, maybe I should eat a couple more vegetables. You know, maybe I should, drink some more water or exercise. And, you know, so sometimes it does stimulate people to want to make changes and sometimes not as much. But the biggest thing as supporters that when you're trying to help people with health is to just see if you can make food that is delicious for them to eat and, you know, accidentally nutritious. So, for example, if somebody loves fast food and they're like, they love, you know, hamburgers and fries, you know, can you make an exact fast food hamburger at your house? No, but you absolutely can make a lean beef burger with vegetables like tomatoes and lettuce on there. And you can make fries in an air fryer that are awesome and crisp. And so, you know, part of it is just a potential experimenting very slow in a very fun, non-intrusive, not, you know, told you so way. And they have some fun with it. I mean, even like, you know, breaded chicken nuggets can be made in a really fun way with your own chicken breast and breading it with whole grain panko and putting it in an air fryer so it's extra crisp. So anyway, I would just say have some fun with it. I know it's scary, but nutrition, when it's done in a loving manner that is also fun and delicious, you know, he might bite.
Load the vegetables onto the thin burger. And I also liked the sweet potato fries that we make at my house. They're not McDonald's, but if you just take a sweet potato, slice it up into strips, put a little, paprika or something on there, those are so good. And yes. Isn't that a healthy choice, Dawn?
Absolutely. And so that's part of it, is like looking at what people love to eat at restaurants, fast food or otherwise, and trying to mimic it at home, doing it in healthy ways like that. And it is always surprising. You know, it's sometimes you can be like, oh, is that really going to taste good? And you're like, try it. And oh my gosh, you become a believer. So yeah, that's a great way to make homemade fries. Love that.
We don't have much time left. I want to bounce a couple questions from listeners off of you. This one says, I was curious if you could ask Dawn if you're going to eat chips of any kind. Are sweet potato chips the healthiest?
Oh my gosh. So chips in general, they're why they're always on the sort of, you know, eat less of these list is because of their deep fried nature, not necessarily how they start out. So white potatoes, sweet potatoes, any of those things, very great for you foods. But then when they're deep fried, they become very close in nutrition. So you're not doing yourself necessarily any health halo, you know, favors by going the sweet potato route versus the regular potato. Baked chips might be a little bit better than the deep fried ones. And also you always got to pay attention to what are you eating your chips with? Because, you know, if you're having your chips with another, you know, salty sandwich with deli meat and white bread and not enough vegetables, that's a tricky problem. But if you have a very nutritious meal and you're having chips with it, you know, hey, that's pretty good.
30 seconds on vegan proteins. I'm vegan. I need protein. What do I eat?
Oh my gosh. Well, I will tell you, on my website, I recently put up a really cool plant protein cheat sheet. It literally, if you Google plant protein cheat sheet, you'll get it. And things like soy foods and soybeans are really very much like the queen and of all of it. So it'd be things like edamame, which is soybeans, tofu tempeh. Those have a ton of protein. But also all the beans we always talk about too have protein. Black beans, white beans, garbanzo beans, pinto beans. Seeds and nuts have protein, like almonds have 6 grams of protein for a fourth of a cup. Things like lentils, oh my gosh, tons of protein. And there's even protein in things like quinoa, 4 grams of protein for a half of a cup cooked. So check out that plant protein cheat sheet. But really, when it comes down to it, soybeans are really, they take over the top spot.
It's always good to hear you, Dawn Jackson-Blattner.
Oh my gosh, it's always great to be here. Thanks for having me, John.
The time flies. She is the author and registered dietitian, nutritionist. Follow her on Instagram, DJ Blattner, and her website is DawnJacksonBlattner.com.